Aloha and Merry Christmas. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, a special Christmas message from Pastor Wayne. You'll hear the Christmas story told in a way you have never heard before, guaranteed. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, What Gifts Can I Bring?
Before we start into our message, I want you to know that Pidgin English has become a bona fide formal language in the United States of America. And I thought, if I would have known that, I would have kept Pidgin because that's what I learned in Palolo, and they forced me to learn standard English. I could have stayed Pidgin. Would have been far more easy than the Ottawa. And so in honor of this dubious, wonderful statement that Pidgin is a formal language, in honor of Pidgin, I am going to tell you the night before Christmas in Pidgin English. What do you think? Is that good? So if some of you from the mainland or Haole, you have to get translation from the person next to you, I tried to personalize this for our church, so here it is in Pidgin English. 'Twas the night before Christmas, all right? Everybody ready? You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Here we go. The night before Christmas. Was the night before Christmas, and even way past Kahuku, not one creature was stirring, not even one uku. The socks we went hang by the lua with care, with hopes that Santa would have to stop there. The cake he went moi moi on top of their beds, with crack seed and mochi stayed dancing in their heads. Mara was in her mumu and I was in my malo. We was pounding some aku with poi and some kalo. When outside our hale, I heard one big clatter. So I jumped from the table for see what's the matter. Quick through the door, I ran like one flash. But our way, I stepped up the dog, almost run through the glass. But the moon went shine down on the ocean so clear, like foam on the water, looked like root beer. When what to my makas should I suddenly see? Coming at me was one big New Hope canoe and one short porgy. He had five other paddlers. They was lively and quick. And I knew in 1 minute, must be St. Nick. More fast than one ahi, the closer they came. And he was screaming and yelling and calling their names. On Justin, paddle Roderick, go Freddie Alkane. Go Burgess, go Aaron. Ken Silva never came. Because even though John's their engine and Rod is one joker, we still need Ken because he stay our stroker. Well, finally they came. Before dark they arrive. And Santa said, oh, this boat's so heavy. Lucky I survived. They came over the wave by the light of the sky. And when they came, he said, wait here in the water. I gonna come back, Mumbai. He first went to Hawaii Kai, then Manoa as well, with plenty of kind toys and some journals for sale. But when he came Sand Island, Santa heard through the wall some loud music and hula sounded like halftime football. So that's when I run to the front, and what would I find but that famous Santa Claus with choked the kind grinds. He was dressed in one malo, but was all in blue. I said, you supposed to wear red. He said, why? Bother you. He looked at me and said, give me no trouble. I fly one slipper at you. No forget, you went Marino. I went Cam School. He had one package of toys thrown on his back with mango and papaya in one nada kind sack. He had a good-looking face, but one momona opu that shook when he laughed like one bowl of beef stew. His makas went twinkle, but when he went past, I thought was one fighting chicken, because, man, he was fast. Some was niho'ole, but the rest, straight teeth. But no give him no pilikia, because he no scared beef. But with one wink of his eye and one toss of his head, he wouldn't let me know I had nothing for dread. He spoke not one word, but went straight to the tree and pulled from his bag plenty fish and kimchi. And then he filled all our bowls with chicken long rice. And for keep the lomi fresh, he put on top ice. Then he put his finger on the side of his nose and said, remember, Christmas is Akua's gift in swaddling clothes. And when he was pow, he put on his shoes and said, make sure you follow Jesus, no be one baboos. And then he held back to the water, and with one big whistle, the boys went battle like crazy, like one rocket kind missile. And when he was far, I heard him for say, hey, keep up that stroke, even though Ken Silva no stay. And then I heard him yell back. He went wave as he go. He said, mele kaliki maka new hope, and one haoli makahiki ho.
Oh, that was fun.
Oh, that was so good. We should just have final prayer and go home now, yeah? We just had church. Okay, take out your notes. I have to use standard English now. But we're going to talk about gifts. It sounds strange. We're going to talk like the kind of gifts you give for Christmas, eh? For Jesus. But we're going to talk about gifts that we give to Jesus this Christmas. And there are gifts that we need to give. But first, let's read a part of the scriptures that talk about gifts that were brought to the King of Kings. It'll come up on the board. Let's read it together. Matthew 2, verses 10 and 11. Would you read it with me? Go. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Some commentators say that the gold and frankincense and myrrh were not just random gifts, but they depicted something of the role or the purpose of the assignment of this Christ child. Gold was given to kings through which the king would provide for his people. And so this would be depicting of he being the King of Kings and Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Frankincense, believe it or not, had medicinal properties to it. And it was sort of like ibuprofen in that it kept the swelling down in people's joints, frankincense. And so frankincense as a gift would be depicting the fact that he, the King of Kings who provides, is also our healer. And then myrrh. Myrrh was a fragrant embalming ointment that depicted the fact that Jesus came to die for your sins and mine in order that we might have, in exchange, life eternal. The gospel in the gifts that were given, beautifully presented. But you say, but wait a minute, why would anybody give gifts to the King of Kings who owns the universe? He owns it all. It's kind of like buying a gift for Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or giving a present of Nike shoes to Phil Knight, who owns Nike, or Phil Schultz, who owns Starbucks, buying him a cup of coffee from Starbucks. It's like, I own the place. So what gifts can we give Jesus who owns it all? It's sort of like at Christmas, what gifts would you give to somebody who has everything? And it's like, well, it's hard to shop. Well, I found five gifts that you can give to someone who has everything. And so I'm actually even going to put the pictures up of what you can get. The first is, it's worth $3.2 million. It has 1,600 diamonds. And the centerpiece is a 7-carat diamond, white gold. That is a dog collar. $3.2 million. Quite a pooch that you would put that on, wouldn't it? Now, the next are sunglasses by Dolce & Gabbana. Features a gold frame, $383,000 right there. Now, if you wore those sunglasses and you laid in the sun at Waikiki, you wouldn't have to worry about sunscreen or sunstroke or sunburn. You know why? Because someone will knock you out and steal that off your face. And when you're unconscious, you don't have to worry about sunblock or sunstroke. Now, if you don't want to buy sunglasses, every woman would love another pair of high heels. Here's one, solid gold, studded with 2,200 brilliant cut diamonds, $218,000 right there. Now, there's another one that was actually presented at the Victoria's Secrets fashion show. It has 3,400 precious stones on it. It is a fashion bra that is for $2.5 million. No, I'm not showing you a picture of that. You guys are looking at the screen. Where the picture? You get nothing. You get nothing. I can read your mind. You get me, baby. I read your mind. I can see that. You get nothing. I'm not showing you that picture. So for the men, here's one. You get a razor. There's only 99 made in the world, and that one razor is worth $100,000. Or if you have children going back to school, here's an alligator leather backpack. $39,000. So now you know what to buy me for Christmas. Any of those would be fine. Because it's hard to shop for someone who has it all. And Jesus, who owns the universe, it's like, what gifts do you give? Should you give gifts at Christmas? Sure. Should you give Jesus gifts? Absolutely. Because don't forget whose birthday it is. See, we forget that. And we kind of mess it up. We mutate Christmas. It's sort of like if John Burgess had a birthday party, so he put out cake and sandwiches and punch, and we were all invited. We bring presents. We eat his cake. We drink his punch. We eat his sandwiches, and we start giving each other gifts, the gifts that belong to him. Yeah. You take it. I take yours. Okay, we take one. We open it. Whoo, da, nice. Now, let's go home. Yeah, this is so nice. And it's like John's going, what is this? You come and eat my cake. You drink my punch, you eat my sandwiches, I'm left to clean everything up, and you took my presents with you. It's kind of dumb, but we do that every December. This December, I want to encourage you to bring some gifts to Jesus. You say, but Wayne, wait a minute, you just said he owns the universe, because if I gave him a gift, he doesn't need it. It doesn't do him any good to give him a gift. Very, very true, but listen carefully. Every gift that you bring to Jesus doesn't do him any good, but it does for you a whole bunch of good. I want to talk to you about this. Please remember, before we go any further, here it is. Everything that Jesus asks you to do, or anything that he asks you to give, is not for him. He doesn't need our service. He doesn't need our gifts. He doesn't need our money. So then why should we give? Because sometimes we say, well, church doesn't need me to serve. Church doesn't need my money. Look, big church. No, they don't. God doesn't need your gifts or mine. He can do it all. But he needs us to give because it does something huge to us. Stay with me. Every time Jesus asks you to do something, it's not for him. It's really for you, your future. Let me tell you a story about a fabulous carpenter. There was a Finnish carpenter. He was also a framing expert. He framed many houses, and he was such an outstanding custom home builder that the company that he worked for and the sole proprietor, the boss, made him a bunch of money, and it became a very successful custom home company. Well, this man, who was very good at building homes, had worked for this boss for 31 years, and he was tired, and he was ready to retire. So he said to his boss in advance, "Hey, next year, January, I'm going to retire." The boss says, "Oh, okay, okay." Well, lo and behold, that January came up, and he had just finished his last house. And so he said to his boss, "Thank you so much. It's been a wonderful run, but I'm going to retire." The boss said, "Oh, before you do that, can you just do me a favor?" He said, "Well, yeah, what is it?" He said, "Just build me one more house." And the carpenter said, "No, man, I've built hundreds of these houses. And I told you I was going to retire. I know, and I'm so sorry, but just one more house. I just got this job, one more." He said, No, "Oh, please." So, just acquiescing to this request, he said, "All right." But everyone knew that in his heart he didn't want to build this house or any more houses. But he showed up for work, and his heart wasn't there, and he's always looking at his watch. "What time can I leave? When can I get out of here?" And he'd take long lunches. And he used to miter the corners and glue them to make sure everything was just perfect. But this time, he didn't have time. He didn't want to build his house in the first place, so he just kind of screwed them together or pounded them in, and close enough. And when you're plastering sheetrock, you know it needs adequate time to dry before you put another layer of something on it. But for him, he needed to expedite things because I want out of this. See, it'll dry somewhere along the way. And he just kind of put it was a nice house, but he knew in his heart that it wasn't near what he could have done. But he got it done. And he said to the boss, "All right, now I'm done. I'm going to retire." The boss said, thank you so much. He said, "Yeah, you probably want to know why I had you build this house." He said, "No, why?" The boss said, "Because you've been so faithful for 31 years. And he pulled out of his pocket the keys of the front door. And he said, "I want you to have this house. I wanted you to build it. And I give it to you as a gift to say thank you." Now, let me ask you, if this man knew that he was building that house for himself, do you think he would have done a better job? Yeah. You better believe it. Now listen carefully. Everything Jesus asks you to do is not for him. He owns it all. Every time he asks us to serve, it's not for him. He doesn't need my help. Then why does he ask us to give gifts? Because we need it. And it's going to come back to us, just like that house. In fact, let's measure all of what we're saying by this one verse in Luke chapter 6. Would you read it? It'll come up on the board. Go. "Give and it will be..." Oh, stop right there. Say it again. "Give and it will be returned to you." Yeah. Why does God ask us to give? So it will be returned to you. Yeah. It's not for him. He owns the universe. "Give and it will be given to you." Continue. "They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in..." Yeah. You see, God asks us to do something. It's for us. Give because I... You see, sometimes we think, well, God needs our service. No, he doesn't. Well, if I really please God, then he'll provide. No, you won't. You know what pleases God? Here it is. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." What is it that opens up this massive storehouse of heaven? When the scripture says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, what unlocks that storehouse? My service? No. My goodness? No. My righteousness? No. My money? No. What is it? Faith. So you see, when I give instead of keep, it's going to require faith. Faith to serve. faith to share, faith to listen. And what happens is when I give, something of my faith grows because I've entrusted to Him something. And it's replaced with faith, and that's what God uses to open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing. Let me end with a story. In the Middle East, there's shepherds that still watch over their sheep. If you've been there, you'll see very large sheep folds. And one young shepherd loved God, would pray every morning before he'd go out to watch the sheep. He had a makeshift altar. Now, there's three things that a shepherd needs. One is a staff, because that he uses to ward off predators, guard the sheep. He needs a cloak, because the sun is hot by day and he uses it as a cover, and the temperatures plummet by night and he uses it as something to give him warmth. He needs a staff and needs a cloak, and then he needs sandals, because if you've seen the Middle Eastern soil, it's filled with shards and sharp rocks, and without foot protection, your feet would be in shreds in no time. Well, he was done with his morning prayers and said, "Lord, I just give you my heart, give you everything." He got up from his kneeler there and started going to the sheepfold when the Lord spoke to his heart and said, "Son, come back and give me your staff." He said, "God, you know I need this to watch the sheep." "Son," he said, "give me your staff." Okay, so he went back and laid that staff on that altar, that makeshift altar, and he said, "Now, God, here is your staff." He began to walk to the sheepfolds when God spoke to him a second time, and he said, "Son, give me your cloak." He said, "God, you know I need a cloak. I'm a shepherd. Give me your cloak." All right, and he went back and took off his cloak and laid it beside his staff and said, "Here's my cloak." He began to walk out to the sheepfold when the Lord spoke to him a third time and he said, "Son, come and give me your sandals." And this time he retaliated. "You know I need sandals. If I don't have these on, my feet are done. I need sandals." "Son," he said, "give me your sandals." So he breathed, took a deep breath, and said, "Okay." He went back and laid his sandals next to the cloak and staff and began to walk back to the sheepfold when the Lord spoke to him another time. He said, "Son, where is your staff?" He said, "I have none." "Where's your cloak? You know shepherds need cloak." He said, "I have none." And he said, "Son, where are your sandals? You need sandals." He said, "I have none." The Lord said, "Well, why don't you come back to my altar and take my staff? Come and take my cloak. Come, put on my sandals, because this will no longer be a staff. It will be a scepter. And it won't be a cloak. It will be a mantle. And the sandals you put on will now allow you to bear the good news to nations far and wide, for this is the beginning of a king." And you see, the same is true with us. God never asks us to do anything unless it's for us. It's like that house. It's like that shepherd. So this Christmas, give the best gift you can. Ask yourself, what do I need the most? Start there. And watch your faith begin to build and the storehouse of God open, and He'll pour out for you a blessing that you're not able to contain. Give and it shall be given to you. Because God doesn't need our stuff, but we need to give. And then watch what happens. And when you understand that, you'll understand what Christmas is all about. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. We trust it has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, Mele Kalikimaka, Merry Christmas and Aloha.
And said, make sure you follow Jesus. No B1 baboos. And then he headed back to the water, and with one big whistle, the boys went battle like crazy, like one rocket kind missile. And when he was far, I heard him for say, hey, keep up that stroke, even though Ken Silva no stay. And then I heard him yell back. He went wave as he go. He said, Mele Kalikimaka, New Hope, and one Haoli Makahiki Ho.